Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, AFT, the American Federation of Teachers, have come out with a new survey. Their survey as of April 1st shows that at least 81% of educators have been vaccinated thus far or were scheduled to get their shots. Also, they've come across, their survey says 85% of educators are conducting some type of in-classroom, in-person instruction, either full or part-time. Now, I've said from the beginning, I think we should stay the course on keeping the online stuff going, doing all of the measures that we've been doing. Like, our kids go 2 days a week. And they split the class in half and have much more space. I say just finish out the year. Start in the fall. We get past it. And I was hoping that Biden was going to go that direction. But here to share some thoughts on where we are going. And if I'm right or wrong, I've asked Denisha Jones to come talk with us. She's the Assistant Executive Director of the Badass Teachers Association. She's got a piece out, Biden's Broken Promises, Timed to Opt Out. Denisha, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
So let's talk about the broken promises. Are we okay with going back to classrooms? Are we okay with the way things are going thus far?
I mean, it's a little strange. It's hard to say for sure. I know some students who are like, your kids back 2 days a week and they cry on the days they don't go. You know, I was just talking to a friend, like, they really love school and they want to be there. And it's rough that they're not there, you know, every day. And so, you know, and I've met with some teachers and they're happy to be back. Some of them who feel like they're being safe and their health is not compromised. But I think you were right in the sense that I don't know why we would rush back to now this year. If you weren't in person at this point, like come January, February, March, you probably didn't need to rush into that. I think if we really, you know, if we really invested in the remote virtual school experience, it could have been better. But there was just this push by a lot of more, parents had a lot more pull, a lot more social capital who just wanted their life back. They didn't want the kids home with them. They felt it wasn't good. And they kind of used their clout to kind of steer the conversation. When we actually look at the numbers, a lot of Black and Latino families, they're not going back. They don't trust the schools. They don't think the schools are safe. And they're keeping their kids at home. So I agree. It doesn't seem smart to rush in and say we're going to reopen schools as we see numbers still surging in this country with, you know, COVID-related cases.
I mean, some of the numbers that I've seen, you know, now we're looking at younger people getting, especially with the variant coming around, the concern is that the younger people are going to be the ones spreading it even more because we are pushing them back into this environment. I thought we should have gone all online for, last year, and we should have shut everything down till we got past it. That didn't happen. We keep getting to the point where things are getting better, and then we lose our freaking minds.
Yeah, it's really sad. I was working with a colleague, another Badass Teacher member, and we did a survey. So we had over 1,000 teachers in all 50 states plus D.C. and Puerto Rico complete the survey. And then we interviewed about 20 or so of the teachers to get some more information from them. And literally, so I had to create a table for our presentation this weekend at a conference about, you know, we asked them, like, what was your reopening plan for, like, September? And then what is your current plan now? And then what were the changes to the plan? And it's like, everyone experienced the same. Only the people who started fully remote and are still fully remote, they're the only ones that didn't have this fluctuation, right? A lot of people started in person and then the numbers spiked and then they had to close and now they're hybrid and they're trying to come back, or they started remote and then they went hybrid and then the numbers spiked and the cases spiked and then they had to go remote. And so there was all this back and forth. And that was a lot of the stress, right, for teachers, because it was a lot to have to go, like, to come to school and then have to go shut everything down. I mean, I kept telling parents, you don't want that. You don't want that. I know it's hard with your kids at home, but you'd rather keep them at home and keep that the routine and get used to it than this yo-yoing back and forth that we've seen. Almost every school district who has attempted to open since September, they have had at some point to close down. Of course, there's some that probably didn't close down in certain states where they are not tracking the cases in the schools and they're just telling everybody, it's okay, you can come to school, don't wear a mask, don't social distance. But for most of the school districts that we talked to in the interviews, it was a back and forth, except the one that says, no, we've been remote since the beginning and we're still remote.
We talk
about coming back, but we're not there yet, you know?
Yeah, I give credit to the school district that we're in because they did the two days on, a day off for everybody, and then 2 days on for the next crew. They split the class in half so that in the middle they could do a good cleaning, and then you brought in the next crew, and they had to wear masks. They did the social distancing thing, and you know, they had a couple of problems here or there where they had to shut down for a small amount of time. But I think overall, I think they did a pretty good job. And I'm afraid that, we're at this moment where, hey, from now till June, we're just going to fling the doors open and undo all of the good things that you've done all along.
Yeah. And it's like, yes, I believe those numbers, right? Teachers are being vaccinated. I got my first dose, but I've known most of my friends who are educators in K-12 space have gotten vaccinated, especially in New York City. I'm about an hour and a half outside the city. But that doesn't mean that it's safe to go back, right? Yes, teachers are getting vaccinated and that's great, but we know kids are carriers of COVID and that they can spread COVID. So it's like even, educators in New York City who, all of the staff got vaccinated and returned are still being shut down because there are cases still showing up. Now, it might be great that if you get vaccinated and you catch COVID, you're not going to get as sick if you didn't have the vaccine, but that doesn't mean you're not going to get sick. That doesn't mean that people aren't going to get it, right? And they're not. And so it just seems crazy to rush back in, right? But that's that moneyed interest that just wants to see people working and not even, it's like we don't allow people, why do we trust people to work from home? That's one of the strangest things I find in all of this, that we don't trust people to just work from home. They can work from home, but you don't want them there. It's like you don't actually believe the work is getting done unless you see them, toiling away at the office, which that was a big finding in our study so far, that the teachers who had the autonomy to say, some schools said, look, you can work from school or you can work from home. It's up to you. Those are the teachers that were doing the best, right? They were confident. They went, some of them went to school, high school chemistry teacher, young 20. She's like, I can't teach chemistry from home. I went to school every day and taught from my empty classroom. It was great. Other teachers, right, stayed home. And so, and then there was the issue of accommodations. And I think that's what really made it hard when they said, oh, we're going to move to hybrid. And then it was like, oh, but these teachers were like, no, we have, health issues were not coming in. And then all of a sudden they threw the teachers under the bus and they're like, well, sorry, parents, but the teachers won't come in, so we can't do the hybrid. And so there was a lot of just, thinking they can move hybrid, but not having the numbers in place.
Yeah, isn't it amazing how quickly a lot of districts threw the teachers under the bus and the Republican Party? I mean, it's all those, evil teachers in Chicago who are stopping us from having fun.
I mean, we went from teachers are great, right? Remember this time last year when everybody parent got their kid at home, right? We're barely a month into this, and it was like, oh my God, teachers are amazing. I remember seeing so many videos, TikToks all over, right? People outside, like this one guy was taking a break from his kids inside. He was like, I don't know how y'all teachers do this. I can't take the city board. These kids are driving me crazy. Like we had that moment where everyone was like, wow, teachers are amazing because I am teaching my child from home and it's very difficult and I only have one and you have like 20 to 30. And then it all evaporated that fast when teachers said, no, I'm not putting my life on the line for this. I can educate kids remotely. Education, it can happen anywhere. And that's what people didn't realize. And then it's like, oh, but schools just don't educate children. We are in custodial care of children's bodies so their adults can go to work. That's a very separate issue, right? And so it just, we turned on teachers who said, with good reason, I'm not risking my life for this. Like, our teacher's essential worker. Education's essential. But as we learned, kids are still learning remotely. They have been, and they've been doing an amazing job with the technology and the work, but that doesn't solve the crisis of people who have to be at work. And that became a real issue that we just threw on the back of the teachers in public schools.
Right. Now, this push to get to reopen now at the end of the year, this push to push everybody back in the classroom, how much of this is a push to, as you've said, get kids back in the classroom so parents can go off to work and return to some bit of normalcy? And how much of this is we got to get those damn standardized tests in before the end of the year so that we can continue that farce?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that was the big, promise that Biden broke. This was, pre-COVID, December, December 2019, right? Yeah, we're at this big public education forum. All the president, we had 7 Democratic candidate nominee for the presidential election come and speak. And, I got to ask Biden a question or like it's on standardized testing. And, I came up with a long-winded question. I really wanted to hammer home all the problems that are wrong with standardized testing. Like it disrupts the curriculum. It narrows the curriculum. It turns teaching into test prepping. It has a history of racism and eugenics, and it's really bad for young children, right? Going through the, hey, you know, yes, I will do away with testing. And this was before COVID. So, you know, the first year, of course, everyone, they got rid of testing. It was easy to do. And so now you're faced with another year of no testing. And if you understand anything about educational measurement, 2 years without data and you're done, right? Like, so they knew this. And then the pressure comes on, no, we need to get the kids back and we got to get the testing done. And it was just really disappointing. And I think that's the big push to reopen schools. I mean, when Biden got elected, he said in his first 100 days, he wanted schools reopened. And I believe he was feeling the pressure from the testing companies. Now, are there some teachers who say, yes, I have a student interviewing teacher, and some of them said, yeah, I think the testing's okay. We want to know where the students are. Sure, there's a few teachers who think that, but most people are like, we don't need the test, right? Like, we didn't need them before, and we don't need them now. And, you know, I have a colleague in Florida and in Miami-Dade County saying how, you know, a parent thought the tests were so important that she sent her son to school to take it when he wasn't feeling well. Turned out he was COVID positive and infected everyone in the room, right? And it's those crazy things. Like, now, more than ever, why would you send kids to school to take a test when we can barely have schools open and keep this virus out? And so, yeah, it's very disappointing, but I think it goes hand in hand. Reopen schools, get kids back in the building, and give them the meaningless test that you said you weren't going to do anymore.
Yeah, now, personally, I'm a big fan of testing. You know, I went to Catholic school as a kid, and every Friday we had a test. Every Monday we got the results, so that we figured out what we knew or what we didn't know. That was the gig. But you know, our three kids, we have opted out of the standardized tests because I don't see the use in taking one of these big tests in March or April and not getting the results until October or November. Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. And I've explained to my kids this. You know, I'm a big fan of testing. I want you tested early. I want you tested often. But it's got to be diagnostic. It's got to be helping you to figure out what you know, what you don't know, and what you need to work on. These tests don't do that. And I don't even actually at this point know why we do the standardized tests anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they really don't. Assessment is a part of teaching and learning, right? So the test you're talking about that you took in Catholic school, the test that my teachers gave me, the assessments I give my students now at the university, right? They are a part of the teaching and learning cycle. You have to know what students know so you can know where you're going and what you've covered. But standardized testing is just one form of assessment, and it's just really been truly abused. And I think it's because, you know, the people who make the most money off the testing, they spend a lot of money to lobby for more tests, right? We saw No Child Left Behind came in. And that law ushered in, you know, mandatory testing for third to eighth grade. I'm sure if we digged around and we found out who funded that bill, it would be the companies that benefit from testing, right? Because they're the only people calling for more and more testing. Every president, except maybe for Trump. So Obama talks that testing was bad, right? They say the testing is not good, but they don't do anything to stop it, right? They still, and then they enact policies that make it worse. Race to the Top encourage more testing, right? No Child Left Behind encourage testing. ESSA says you can opt out, but it doesn't do away with the yearly testing mandate requirements, right? And even if you thought some standardized testing is good, we've got NAEP scores. They're given to a random sample of students. They're not given every year. Why don't we just use those tests? Why do we need Common Core tests and all these other things that really disrupt the teaching and learning that's supposed to be happening? So yeah, it's definitely, I think, more to do about the people who make the money from the test.
It's all about the money. Now, I remember, you know, back, now we're going back into the, you know, late 70s. I remember taking a standardized test. I think it was 1 or 2 years we did the, and it was a couple of years apart. It was the Iowa Test of Basic Skills.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't something that they, you know, they hammered on us. It was just kind of like sprung on it. Go, we're going to take these tests to find out what you know. You know, the teachers weren't crazy. We didn't have big weeks to pump everyone up. They didn't try and cram, oh, this is going to be on the test. It was, hey, let's find out. They were assessment tests. I'm in favor of that stuff. I don't know. I mean, the first couple of years I saw the kids, you know, around them, you know, being, you know, just kind of freaking out. And I'm going, this isn't what education's supposed to be to me.
No, and those tests were not high stakes, right? Like, I remember asking my teacher, like, oh, am I being graded? She's like, just do your best, honey, right? Like, she wasn't worried about it. She wasn't worried that she might lose her job or the school that would be labeled, you know, not meeting adequate yearly progress. They weren't going to hold me back from getting my high school diploma. They were just diagnostic assessments tests, and they were just used. And then the paper came back, and I remember being like, how do I explain this to my mom? Because she's an immigrant, and she's not going to understand. And they were like, tell her you're doing as well as 95% of the other students, right? Like, I was like, okay, 95%. Sounds good. She'll like that, right? And it was very simple. And then it changed, right? It completely changed. And I think part of it is that they wanted us to take the test more seriously. And so they added all of these carrots and sticks, right? Like, oh, if you don't take this test, I mean, we have, you know, states that it's going down, but there's still a handful of states that require them to graduate high school. You can go through your whole K through 12 education, and if you don't pass one single test, you don't get a diploma. You know, that's still happening. We even see retention tests, right? Third graders in Florida, right? Their parents suing because they opted their kids out, and the state will said, if you don't pass the third grade test, you don't get promoted, right? I mean, that's insane, right? To think that a test could have that much weight on somebody's life. Yes, there are times when testing is very much a part of, like, you know, going to college, even though a lot of colleges they're doing away with the SAT. I had to take, you know, the bar exam to get, you know, license as a lawyer, right? There are times, but that it shouldn't be in your K through 12 time, right? You don't need that those years when you're trying to learn and develop critical thinking to be so worried about how you're going to do on one test.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, to get out of kindergarten, you need to pass this standardized test. Well, when I went to kindergarten, as long as you didn't wet your pants and you could stay awake and tie your shoes, you moved on.
Yeah, those were the days. And it's very harmful because, you know, when I see the students, they come to college, right? I remember teaching a freshman writing class, and I was just like, wow, these students really don't, like, they're like, well, what are we supposed to be doing? I'm like, you're supposed to read the material, and we're going to have a discussion. They're like, well, is there going to be, like, questions? Or is there a written part? Like, they couldn't operate without a test, without some type of, like, everything they did for the past few years was preparing them to answer multiple choice questions.
Yeah, where's the
and
bubble?
That's not what you do in college. Yeah, and so I was like, guys, we're just going to talk about the readings. And so I really had to make it more concrete and tangible. Like, they weren't okay for, like, a lecture, right, a discussion, because that's not what. So this whole idea that they're being prepared for college and career to take all these tests, I don't know many college professors who find this very helpful, right? They actually think it's a detriment because they want students who can think critically and have discussions and make points and not write very formalistic in that, you know, five-paragraph essay, and that's all they can do is, like, parrot what they've heard back to them with those close reading skills, right? It's just, it's really challenging because I keep telling parents, your kids are not prepared for college, and they're the kids who don't succeed because they didn't realize that that was what college was going to be about.
Right, but here's my problem, and I know you're a college professor, but my problem is from, you know, people that I'm talking to, not only are kids not ready to go to college, the colleges aren't ready to throw them out because, and I'll use the word that the head of Collin College that fired two people because they had the audacity that they wanted to form a union. You know, the Amazonification of education, that, you know, he's thrilled about it. He's thrilled that, you know, we're Amazoning the education system, where it's really all about the money. And, you know, I've talked to professors who are like, you know, hey, the pressure's on us to keep, you know, kids in classrooms. We can't fail. We can't fail them because they need the revenue.
Well, it's interesting in colleges, right? And I must say, I'm at Sarah Lawrence College, and we are very different. And people come for our university because it's very different, progressive, rigorous academic, small class sizes, really engaging, not the type of colleges that most people go to. But, like, at my previous college, what I tried to do with that freshman writing class, right, we talked about how I had this statement, a principal had put something about fifth graders asking him, like, well, they can't really fail us, can they? And so they talked about that in high school. And so, you know, I asked them if this was true from their experience, and they were like, yeah, no, we never got failed. You couldn't get below a 50 in high school. And I said, all right, so you're freshman here in college. What do you think is going to happen here if you don't pass this class? And they're like, you can actually fail us? I said, one, I can fail you. Two, I can't talk to your parents about it because they're lost about it. And three, you're not going to get a refund on the tuition, but you'll keep being able to come back to college. So what happens is they go from spending 4 years working on their degree to 6 to 7, right? And I know people who have left an institution without a bachelor's degree after 6 years because they kept failing the same classes over and over again. So you're right. On some levels, the college is going to keep taking your money, right? They're not going to kick you out, but they're also not going to, you're not going to, eventually you might eke out of there with a degree 2.5 extra years later.
Yeah.
And how much money did you spend? So it does become that kind of racket. And I've seen that at some colleges, right, where I'm still working with students at some other schools that should have graduated 3 years ago.
Yeah.
right? But they're slowly taking it and they're retaking classes, and it just gets to be a really not good situation for these students.
Yeah, to steal a line from my son's favorite movie, Tommy Boy, lots of people go to college for 7 years. They're called doctors.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, I think it took a long time for my PhD, but not so much for the... No, it's one thing to go part-time, you know, that's different, but it's those students who really keep repeating the same classes over and over again, trying to get that grade up. And it's really challenging because they're not prepared. They really aren't. They come in and, you know, they feel inadequate because they don't have the skills, because their high school was really focused on test prep, and they don't really learn anything like... You know, all this learning loss talk, and it's like, if you truly learn something, it's not lost. Unfortunately, when we were teaching kids, it was not really learned, right? It was just memorized for a test. So they never learned it in the first place, and it's not useful information.
No, I mean, and again, I guess it comes back down to what is an education for? Is it to get a piece of paper or to actually have life skills to be critical thinking, you know, functional citizens? But I guess that's a philosophical question we don't have time to discuss or debate. So back to finally on this testing front, I'm a big fan of the opt-out. Is that the kind of the push forward, since they're kind of pushing people back into classrooms? Is this where we're going? We want people to opt out of the test?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's interesting because I felt, well, all the testing is happening right now. It's too late. But actually, a lot of states got waivers to push the test till fall. So if your state said, all right, we're going to do the test, but we're not going to do this fall, then absolutely you must opt out, right? If you're doing testing later in May, then absolutely you must opt out. And I mean, so many school officials have said the same thing. You know, right before Richard Caranda left New York City Public Schools as the chancellor, he was like, oh, it's time to opt out, right? I think some districts in New York here, they're saying, well, you have to opt in. If you want to take the test, let us know. I mean, that's ingenious, because like, most parents will be like, well, I'm not letting you know nothing, right? So I think people are really seeing it as a strategy this year. They're encouraging parents to do it. It's not, you know, the Biden administration said the tests are not being counted, which doesn't make sense. Then why are you giving them?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it really makes sense right now. It's a global pandemic. It's not going away. Children are at risk. There's no reason to stress your kids out about this. Kids are already stressed. They feel like they're missing out. They don't know. They can't see that the world will get back to normal. Most of us can see that, right? Like, we're always going to have COVID on our minds. We're going to be talking about it 10 years from now. But we can see a return to a new normal that feels okay, right, once we get this under control. Kids' minds don't think that way, right? So they're stressed enough, wondering, like, if their life is ever going to be the same. And the last thing they need is this test. So, yes, parents, you know, opt out, refuse. And remember, you're not asking permission, because a lot of schools will say, we don't allow that. I'm sorry. Let me say this again. My child's not taking the test. I'm not asking for permission. They're not taking the test. And, you know, the every student with CDAC ESSA does allow for opting out. And so parents need to know that it is their right to do that.
There you go. Yeah, we do it every year, go into the principal's office and say, nope, not going to do it. We used to have to go and say that we had a religious problem with it, which, you know, I can make the argument of ethic of reciprocity across every religion. But fortunately, I hear in the state, I guess we don't have to do that anymore. We can just say that we're parents and we prefer our children not to be abused.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really is a thing to save. And talk to your kids about it. I think when I taught that freshman class, the writing class was about the testing. The subject was the opt-out movement. And they were shocked. They're like, why didn't anybody tell us this when we were in high school? We didn't know we could opt out. And I was like, yeah, it's not really why I don't. But a lot of people are doing it and pushing it. So that's great to hear that you're doing it and your kids will be better for it. And like I said, a lot of colleges now are not retiring SATs and ACTs. So there's a good chance they can get rid of those standardized tests even longer.
Wow. So no more college SATs. T's or ACTs?
Some are, but a lot of schools are waiving them. Actually, we've seen a lot of schools have seen record in applications because they waived them this year. They said that they were not requiring SATs. And so we're seeing more and more. Some are still doing it, but a lot are going test optional. And it's really changing the landscape of like who applies. A lot of the Ivy Leagues who have gone test optional are seeing, you know, more applications from first generation students and, you know, students of color. So that's been great, too.
So is that COVID related, or is that they're going to do away with it permanently?
Some of it is COVID related. Some of them said, you know, it's too much to ask students to take it during COVID. But this was a trend moving upwards before COVID, that we did see more schools, you know, waiving the testing requirement, because they know it's not really a good predictor of how students are going to do in college.
Yeah, I did really well on the ACTs, and I showed up hungover. So that was the key. the key was go in with a hangover and you'll do fine on the test.
I didn't try that. The SATs were terrible for me. The GREs were terrible for me. But, you know when test prep works? I did 10 weeks of test prep for the bar, and it worked. But I was also an adult.
You know,
I wasn't in my high school time doing it. So test prep does work, but it shouldn't have to be what you're doing through your whole K-12. And that's what it's become, because everyone's so concerned about the test that we forgot that we're supposed to be educating students.
Yeah, see, I didn't do anything in high school. I did really badly. I was a good athlete, did really badly in school because, well, it just was what it was at that point. But I did really well on the ACT. I guess that those first couple of years, I got a good education and then kind of slacked off there at the end. But I was fortunate enough to not care about the test. And I guess that speaks volumes of how I ended up taking it. But there you go. But Denisha, I appreciate you taking some time. I hope folks will check out the piece on Joe Biden, and we'll get links out on how that can happen. But I appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Our good friend Denisha Jones. Make sure you check out her piece on Joe Biden. Biden's broken promise. Time to opt out. We'll get links out. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.